broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 9th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. A quick recap of last hour. I just think it's worth highlighting so everybody knows what we talked about. If you didn't have time to listen, lovingliberty.net, spread the word, share the love, download the archives, and listen to your heart's content on-demand radio at your fingertips. We talked about Netflix is unapologetically creating, distributing, and marketing content that exploits minors, that sexualizes children. Wow, exploits minors. Sexualizes children, and that encourages dangerous behavior, to say the least. They don't intend to change unless we make them, says Parents Television Council, and amen to that. We are gearing up, they say, to pour everything we've got into the fight to stop Netflix from sexualizing children. Will you help us in this fight? We are also sharing our message of support for the district attorney in Tyler, Texas, who alone has the grace to stand up to Netflix and bring an indictment against Netflix for Penal Code 43.25, which says, look, you cannot promote these perversions that sexualize children. They also say, in addition to backing this Tyler, Texas attorney or district attorney, we will also be taking your petitions to all 265 Texas district attorneys and asking them to follow their colleagues in filing charges against Netflix for their abuses and their violations of the law. Anyway, we talked about that. Great story, great way you can get involved to make a difference. Parents Television Council. We then talked about a great news story last hour. Don Milne is his name, and he takes on the audacious quest to document the lives of all 421,000 American soldiers who died in World War II. Yeah, just great stuff in my opinion. Storiesbehindthestars.org is where you can learn more. Stories Behind the Stars not only aims to make sure that the narratives for all 421,000 Americans who perished in World War II, they want to accomplish it by September 2025. Volunteer to bring the stories of the fallen to future generations is what they say. Great work by those people. What a positive story, right? Storiesbehindthestars.org to learn more, to volunteer, to get involved, to make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of people getting involved and making a difference, that brings us to our guest. How about that? His name is Stephen Johnson, and he's in Wisconsin. I didn't mean to rhyme, but there you go. And he's basically running for sheriff, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about him and his life and who he is and how he got there and what he's doing. We're going to talk about vote fraud, and then we're going to talk about his candidacy, and we're going to do it all now. Steve, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, good morning. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. First, tell us about you, and then we'll talk about what county you're running in, but we'll get into vote fraud, too. But tell us who you are, Steve.
Well, my name is Steve Johnson, and not trying to be a poet like you, but I am from Wisconsin. Back in 1980, my father was a Juneau County deputy. He was killed in the line of duty on Highway 21 measuring skid marks from an accident for the county.
I'm sorry, sir.
And ever since then, it was kind of a passion of mine to become involved in law enforcement. Joined the military, started out as a mechanic, ended up Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Was the first class to go through Fort Knox, Kentucky, MP school, graduated top of my class. I worked for some great departments, Sauk County Sheriff's Department, Ontario Police Department part-time. I was a school liaison officer in Hillsborough, Wisconsin. Also was a bailiff for Monroe County, chief of police for Norwalk and Wilton Police Department. And the kids are my passion. For me, law enforcement's all about the kids and keeping them on the right path. I kind of think we're children's roadblocks on the bad paths, and that's where we stand. Keep the kids up on the right path.
That's tremendous. Do you have a family?
I do have a family. I have five children, all grown up and moved on their own, and I have custody of three young ladies who are cousins of mine. Their parents had some issues that they're still working on 12 years later, and so we have custody of them. Also, my girlfriend, she has three children of her own, and two are moved on, and one still lives with us.
All right, so you've got your hands full, that's for sure, Steve. We appreciate that. And so you got in law enforcement. You've got quite a bit of time in law enforcement. But have you been involved as a sheriff at all or a sheriff's deputy?
I was a sheriff's deputy, correct, yes. I'm never a sheriff, though.
Okay, but you were a sheriff's deputy, though, which, hey, gets you firsthand involvement. How'd you like that?
Oh, I loved it. It was probably one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life.
Tell me why.
Well, it's not about traffic stops. It's not about enforcing the law. It's about people and communities and trust in your departments and working extremely hard to instill that trust in your sheriff's department with your community, working well together.
Fantastic. Guess who just joined us?
Who joined us?
Sheriff Richard Mack. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's great to be with you. And Steve, thanks for having me.
We're hanging out with Johnson from Wisconsin, sir.
Yes. I was listening to part of it, and I knew he was going to be on, so I kind of wanted to be on with you. So I don't want to interrupt anything.
You're not interrupting anything. He was just telling us about his experience in life a little bit, so we know kind of who Steve is, and he was telling us about his law enforcement experience. He was a deputy for a long
time,
and it was one of his favorite things to do ever.
Yeah. And he has five children?
Yes, sir.
Same as my wife. Man, oh, man. Sometimes these ladies just don't know how to stop having all
well,
these kids.
How many kids do you have, Sheriff?
I have five.
Sheriff
Mac?
No, your wife
five.
Has six then.
Well, yeah, including me. That's true.
I'm just teasing. All right, welcome. So, Steve, your favorite thing to do is being a sheriff's deputy. And I want to know, from as you've kind of looked on in support of the sheriff, I want you to define the sheriff's role for me. Can you?
I define the sheriff's role as kind of the people's last line of defense for their civil liberties, the Constitution, and to be an involved individual in the communities. And they're not there for just certain groups of people. Your sheriff is there for everybody. For the community as a whole. And the sheriff's role, I also believe, is working close-knit with communities to help bring a more closer relationship with neighbors and neighbors, neighbors helping neighbors with their sheriff's departments and enforcing the law.
Okay, Sheriff Mack.
I totally agree with all of that. Enforcing the law needs to be defined. To me, if it's enforcing the law, well, Frederick Bastiat wrote a great book called The Law. And so I guess we always have to define that. And first of all, if we put laws in the order of importance, then I totally agree with that statement. First, God's law supersedes all other man-made laws, including our Constitution, even though the Constitution, the intent of the founders was to make sure that it followed God's law and it protected God's law. or laws. And then second would be the constitutional law of the land, as the Constitution says in Article 6, that the Constitution and the laws made pursuant thereof, in pursuance thereof, are the supreme law of the land. So to be supreme, to have supremacy, laws passed by Congress and by the state must be in pursuance of the Constitution. And anything outside that would not have supremacy. And then you have to look, when does the state have supremacy? And we need to remember one thing, and that is that the 10th Amendment is a powerful tool for the states to keep in check how far the federal government goes, because it clearly states the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states or to the people. And that's a powerful thing that the states must remember to enforce. The federal government's not going to enforce the 10th Amendment, and that's what obviously, you know that I sued the federal government on. So I know that cops have been inculcated in all across the country to enforce the law. But we need to remember the order that goes in.
Hang tight, Steve. Steve Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, with us. And Steven Johnson is a sheriff's candidate in Juneau County, Wisconsin. We'll talk about his bid for sheriff. We'll talk about vote fraud. We've got Sheriff Mack with us, too. Incredible show coming up. Liberty Roundtable live.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Steven Johnson. He's running for sheriff's candidate, or he's a sheriff's candidate in Juneau County, Wisconsin. And he's getting involved with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Would highly recommend you get involved as well. And Sheriff Mack is on the radio with us as well, CSPOA.org. And we're talking a little bit about Steve's life and about what the role of the sheriff is. You wanted to finish, Sheriff Mack? Let's give you the chance to finish what you were saying here.
Yeah, about the order of the law. I mean, you have to look at every law. For instance, does traffic laws in the state of Wisconsin supersede the Bill of Rights, or could they ever? And, you know, most people, the immediate knee-jerk reaction there would say, oh, of course not. No, it's supreme law. And actually, the supreme of the supremos, as far as law goes, is the Bill of Rights itself, because it was actually added to the Constitution because Madison and Hancock and a couple others, Patrick Henry, got back together and say, hey, we forgot to put a Declaration of Rights. And that's what these are, is that a warning opposite of what Biden has said, that there's no absolute. There's no absolute. And he, of course, he's trying to, he has to say that because he's violating these absolutes all the time. So he has to try to convince people that it's okay because they're not absolute. That is one area where he's absolutely wrong, and that the Founding Fathers said, these are the absolutes. These are absolutely the rights that government can never touch or violate or mute or move. They are immutable. And so that's what I believe that we have failed to teach in schools and in our police academies, which law is supreme when you come to the position of having a quandary of choosing between one or the other, as I did when I sued the federal government. In fact, Judge Roll even mentioned that at the district court, that I was forced to choose between keeping my oath or obeying the act. And in that particular case, the Brady Bill. So I really believe that police academies nationwide need to start training in the Constitution and the Supremacy Clause, of which laws really are supreme to any other.
And, all right, and Sheriff course, Mack, I don't mean to interrupt, too. Whoever's got a TV or a radio on the background needs to turn it off. But in the meantime, though, Steve, I want you to have a chance to respond to what Sheriff Mack's saying. Steve?
Good. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's give you a chance to respond to what Sheriff Mack's saying here about the Bill of Rights and the absolute nature thereof.
Well, I believe, I think Sheriff Mack's absolutely right as far as the Constitution goes and putting it into our academies. And I believe that also being the sheriff, it should be something that's training, continuous training that should be involved inside the sheriff's departments. And all your sheriffs and your deputies, city, municipal, everybody should be involved in that.
All right, I want to give an example, a very poignant example right now from modern times that I think relates. So I believe the Bill of Rights are really a codifying of God-given inalienable rights. And really, they're the untouchables. The reason they're written down isn't to give me anything. The reason they're written down is to put government on notice that they can't touch them. In Spanish, it'd say, no lo toques, right? Don't touch. Can't touch that. And in America, we need to understand that government has no authority in that realm. The 10th Amendment highlights that reality. The Bill of Rights highlights that reality. The Constitution is a yes document. Yes, general government, you have very limited but very powerful responsibilities, and here's the list. And by the way, if we forgot anything, make sure you know. If we forgot anything, it's not on your list, just so you know. And furthermore, to make sure you know, here's the Bill of Rights. These you can't touch. So you got the yeses in the Constitution, very limited and defined. Then you got the noes. Specifically a list highlighted saying you can't touch these things. And by the way, if we forgot anything, look at the 10th Amendment to make sure that you're very clear about yes list, no list, and if it's not there, then it's a no, by the way, just to be all-encompassing. That was the intent of the founders. They are very clear about this. So now you got these gun grabbers in America, and they don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about God-given inalienable rights of self-defense or anything else. They don't believe rights are absolute. They believe that government could do anything, say anything they want to. I reject that notion and say we are not governed by your whims. We are not a democracy. There are checks and balances. There are jurisdictional boundaries. And let's make sure that we understand them and insist on them, Americans, please. Well, the reason I bring that up, Steve, is you got these red flag laws now being put on the books that say, hey, we have a right to, deny you access to a firearm. We can do background checks. We can do red flag restrictions. We can this, we can that, we can. Let's start there, because this is Richard Mack's point. You got the Bill of Rights. Second Amendment says your right shall not be infringed. However, these red flag laws and other laws literally become a government edict that conflicts with that God-given right codified by the Bill of Rights. Steve, let's start there.
Well, red flag laws, as far as I took a vetting the sheriff here quiz here with CSPOA, and I got that question wrong. And I misread into it. I didn't obviously understand the question. And I'll admit right now I'm no constitutional scholar, but willing to learn and get up to speed on some of the laws that are out there, especially like your red flag laws. And if Sheriff Mack could maybe touch on that a little bit, and as far as
Sheriff Mack, Steve, let's explain. Why don't you explain the question really quick, then kind of explain your misunderstanding, and then we can talk about it and clarify. That's what this program's partially for, to help people understand.
Okay, so the red flag law states that you can confiscate your weapons. And the question was, would you as a sheriff? I don't have the question right in front of me right now, but I believe it was, is you as a sheriff. Would you confiscate the guns right away? And I stated that I think I answered that as yes. And after being explained that there needs to be a conviction made prior to red flag laws, if I think I'm correct on that, I'm not sure right now.
Yeah, you are.
So
that's right.
Let me say something about
a conviction first, though. I agree that a conviction needs to take place for sure, because otherwise we have not provided appropriate due process is the point here, Steve. Due process is vital. But I would go back even more fundamental than that and say red flag laws not only circumvent your due process, but they also presuppose something that we reject. And the presupposition is that your gun rights are not really a right. They're kind of a privilege. And there are the whims of government to decide. And you know what? That privilege can be changed, altered, limited at the whim of whoever's in power today or tomorrow or next week. And it's not really a right that is absolute. It is something that's just kind of a relative discussion. You know, if there's a bunch of shootings, we can dig in and make more and more and more infringements, so to speak. And that's perfectly lawful and legal and appropriate, and they have all the authority in the world to do. And we, on a fundamental basis, reject that authority in the first place. Remember, it was an absolute untouchable to the Founding Fathers. Sheriff Mack.
Yeah, that's true. It is an untouchable, and there's a reason for it. And, of course, then there's these idiot experts on MSNBC and CNN and others that say, well, all these right-wing, fanatical, gun-toting, knuckle-dragging extremists don't follow the first half of the Second Amendment. They only follow the second half of the Second Amendment. The first half of the Second Amendment changes nothing. In fact, it actually reinforces the second half, because a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. In other words, it's all about freedom. So a well-regulated militia, and then you have to ask, what is the militia? The Founding Fathers described that. The United States Code codifies it. But the bottom line is, it's every able-bodied adult. Every able-bodied adult is or comprises the militia. We're all members of the militia, whether we like it or not. And the sheriff and the governor are two that can call out the militia. I like to call it, in the sheriff's instance, I like to call it a posse. That's what they've done for years and years, decades, centuries, actually. And it's all part of keeping the county safe and the people safe. And the people are the ultimate power. And that's what posse means. It means power. And so power to the people, absolutely. And yes, the Second Amendment reinforces the second half reinforces the first half, and vice versa.
And before our break, I want to just say that's why we say that the authority of the sheriff comes with the election and his oath of office. The power comes from we the people backing our constitutional sheriffs. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Johnson in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
One of the nation's largest liquefied natural gas facilities will shut down for 3 weeks. The closure of the Freeport LNG plant in Texas comes after an explosion Wednesday morning caused damage to it. The facility provides about 20% of the nation's LNG processing. An investigation into the explosion is underway. Vice President Kamala Harris announced $3.2 billion to address what the Biden administration considers to be key causes of people rushing the U.S. border.
When we provide economic opportunity for people in Central America, we address an important driver of migration.
As illegal immigration residence in the United States has increased 10% since Biden took office, it should be noted this week's Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles will be receiving low-level diplomats instead of leaders out of disrespect that Biden was not inclusive to all countries in the region. USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-517-1717. 800-517-1717. 800-517-1717.
The January 6th committee have hired a television producer to sell their agenda to the American people.
Public congressional hearings on last year's Capitol attack are set to begin Thursday night. Several hearings will be scattered throughout June in prime time and during daytime hours. Democrats hired a former TV producer to help produce the hearings. New York Republican Congressman Elise Stefanik says the hearings taking place are unprecedented.
They are Nancy Pelosi's appointees, and everyone across America needs to know that. Every single member that was appointed by Kevin McCarthy is not on the committee. That's because Nancy Pelosi broke 200-plus years of precedent by not allowing the Republican minority leader to appoint members of a sitting committee.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Federal prosecutors are pushing for R&B singer and convicted sex offender R. Kelly to sit in a prison for more than 25 years. He'll be sentenced June 29th. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, our liner says begging politicians and bureaucrats to do what's right. Yeah, we're going to beg it first and be polite, but if you don't do what's right, we're simply going to kick you out and replace you with somebody who will. So let's just be very clear about that. We got Steve Johnson with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a sheriff's candidate in Juneau County, Wisconsin, and he's open, willing to learn. In my opinion, that's one of the most important keys to the exercise here. He's coming on the radio saying, look, I misunderstood your question. I answered it wrong. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I'm open and willing to learn. This is the grace, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to provide for sheriffs and sheriff's candidates and all of our public officials for that matter. Look, you don't wake up one day and become this super constitutionalist. It takes education. It takes patience. It takes learning. It takes application. It's one thing to think you understand it, but then when you apply modern-day reality to things, it gets very complicated fast unless you understand and learn to apply appropriate principles. So, Steve, the principle here is on the red flag laws, you don't have any right to infringe. It's that simple. What part of that don't you understand, this thou shalt not infringe part? And that's kind of where we're coming from on this. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. What about when a wacko gets crazy? There's already laws on the books for when wackos get crazy. When people commit crimes, there's already laws on the books. And absolutely, the problem in America, one of the great sheriffs from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, David A. Clark Jr. highlighted this. He says, the problem is we just have this catch and release of criminals plan. That's the problem. That doesn't go well. Amen. He's right. And so what we need to do is deal with the laws already on the books to deal with criminals. And that ought to take care of that question. And so there's a lot here. But it's very simple if we understand constitutional principles, Steve.
Well, Sam, I got to interrupt. Wait a minute. Because I have to say that the answer on number six that he gave, now this is just so everybody knows, candidates and sheriffs can take this sheriff survey that's on our website. He did, and I graded it, and he got a 92. And I have to admit that his answer on number six about red flag laws was not in line with all his other answers. And in fact, I disagree with him. The rest of it sounded like he was a constitutional scholar. Everything was just right in line with the Constitution. Sounded like he knew exactly what he was talking about and that he was very familiar with the Constitution. And so, except for number six, and I go, oh, well, okay. So I sent it back to him and I emailed it back to him. I sent him the score and I said, and I talked to him about number six. I think I have to say this. I would be proud to endorse him. I really hope he gets it. He understands what's going on and he understands the power of the sheriffs, the responsibilities of the sheriff and the office of sheriff. And as he said off the air, which he needs to repeat, is that a lot of sheriffs just don't understand their own power, and they really need to get involved with the CSPOA and our training so that they know and understand the Constitution and their obligation to keep their oath. So, Steve, thank you for all of that, and I agree with Sam 100%. You're humble enough to say, I want to learn more. And I want to try and I want to study. That's all we want from any candidate, and that's all we want from any sheriff.
And before Steve responds, Sheriff Mack, I want to say this too. Everybody in their quest to become a constitutionalist, to understand the supreme law of the land, and to square their ideas and beliefs and understanding to those fundamental principles that our founders fought, bled, and died for, every one of us along that path says something or does something where, you know, we say, oh, well, this. And then it's like, wait a minute, that's not constitutional. What are you talking about? And then every one of us gets kind of an education and we go, you know what? You're right. I guess I didn't really understand. I really didn't think through that all the way or whatever. At first glance, it's like you mean well. You care about those around you. But sometimes, hey, there's a lack in understanding of principles. It happens to all of us, too. Let's be very clear. And I bring that up because we can't expect our sheriffs to be perfect, and we can't expect them to know everything. It's an incredible learning curve. And once in a while, everybody has a misstep. I've done it even on the radio and had people correct me, and I went, you know what? And I go back and spend some time and study, and I come back with a different view. That's okay, Sheriff Mack.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely correct. And that's why I really admire what Steve's trying to do. I'm really glad he's running, and I really hope he wins.
Amen to that. So, Steve, that's kind of the background for our thoughts on this. Do you want to respond or give your thoughts?
Well, real quick, I just like to say, you know, we have avenues as sheriffs. And again, none of us are perfect. I am open-minded and willing to learn. I do make mistakes. But if you utilize this, the quiz that I took with CSPOA, and you take a look at question number six, hey, I made a mistake. But we have avenues in our departments. You know, you got your Sheriff's Association, Sheriff's and Chiefs of Police Association, just like what we did here. I reached out, Sheriff Mack answered my question, kind of set me straight. We put two heads together and made things happen. And as sheriffs, we could all stand together, and chiefs of police, and I would even include your chiefs of fire departments, things like that, bring them all together. And you always come up with the right answer that way, working together in our communities.
Sheriff Mack, could you imagine if all 3,000 plus sheriffs across the country had that attitude, sir? Could you imagine what we would accomplish?
Yeah, we could go retire and go do something else, Sam.
Or we could provide incredible training all across the country, and before you know it, we could turn the bums out and have real constitutional elected officials.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of that, I want to talk about election fraud, too, because he is in Wisconsin. That is one of the battleground states, big time.
Oh, my.
And it's where Sheriff Schmeling, wow, what are we talking about? Is it Racine County? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Is that how you say it, Racine County? Wisconsin district attorney declines to send charges criminal charges against state election officials, even though the sheriff Schmeling has pretty much put together proof of literal wrongdoing. The DA there mocks and laughs and goes, good political stunts there, Sheriff. We're not going to do anything about this at all. Let's have Steve start on this one. Steve, what do you say to that, sir?
Wow, I just went to a conference here the other day, and I was just, my mind was just blown with the numbers. You hear so much talk about election integrity and the things that may have happened or may not have happened in the state. But when you've got numbers that are showing up like I've just witnessed here with an individual by the name of Jefferson Davis, who was a spokesperson for Wisconsin Integrity Haddock Committee, amazing evidence that he brought out. And I've never been a DA, but with this evidence, there is no way I couldn't have done nothing about it. I'd had to do something about this. This evidence is just overwhelming, and I think the district attorney may want to retake a look back into what was presented to him by Sheriff Schmeling out of Racine County, and I think it would behoove him to probably re-look into that or rethink maybe some of the evidence that was brought forth.
Sheriff Mack?
Oh, that is perfect. Yeah, he's absolutely correct. And, of course, it's the number one issue that we're trying to promote nationwide is that every sheriff needs to investigate election fraud in his county, determine if it happened or determine if it did not. But those responsible for this, if they get the evidence like Schmeling did, and he had charges ready to go against nursing homes, nursing home employees, local officials who were promoting voting for people who were invalid and not capable of even saying, yes, vote for me, vote in place of me, or cast my vote for me. And they did, and then family members learned about it and complained to the sheriff, and the sheriff conducted an investigation, and it was more widespread than what people had even thought. So he turns it over to his DA, turns it over to the AG, and he gets made fun of instead of anybody following up with it. And this is the type of political crap we're getting from the Democrats right now, and some Republicans. I don't know. Maybe his DA is a Republican. I don't know. But it's all coming down to playing politics. And today they're having this hearing on January 6th that has a lot to do with Trump's assertion that the election was stolen. And if you look at the movie 2000 Mules, you have to say it appears that Trump was right.
Can I tell you but what I think the hardest thing is?
Yes, mm-hmm. Sir. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I had a meeting last night, and I won't throw the names out there, but it was with a small township here in our area. We had a meeting with them last night. And I think the big problem right now is our clerks are morally and ethically involved in their community's campaigns. And they are very stringent on what they do. I mean, on a population of maybe 400 people, these clerks know everybody. And if they don't come in with an ID, they're making them go home and get them. And they don't want to think or believe that there is any election fraud or not, because they're doing the right thing morally and ethically.
We'll have Steve respond to that in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, got a quick break. Sheriff Mack, thank you so much, sir. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve. See you soon.
All right, there he goes. Public endorsement on the air, ladies and gentlemen, for Steve, for Sheriff.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Stephen Johnson with me, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about vote fraud right now. He is a candidate for sheriff in Wisconsin. And he was just publicly endorsed by Sheriff Richard Mack as a constitutional candidate. Again, his open willingness to learn, plus his incredible knowledge of the Constitution combined are the reason for the endorsement, ladies and gentlemen, justly so, I might add. And so, Stephen, you were mentioning that you met with some people last night, to remain nameless, in your local county there, or your local municipalities. And a lot of these clerks and people know everybody involved at such a small place. And they, you know what, literally make people go home and get IDs. They've done their best to make sure that there is election integrity. And they're shook. They're shocked when people make assertions that they're not. They're going, what? How? Who? What? It's a fair point. Go ahead, sir.
It is a fair point. And I believe that this issue is so big that I suggested that we put up a press conference. Jefferson Davis, like I said before, with the Wisconsin Integrity Haddock Committee, we're going to be inviting sheriffs, clerks, chiefs of police, anybody that would like to get involved with this press conference. We're doing it at the Capitol, I believe, in Madison. And there will be dates to follow, but it's nothing set in stone right now. But this press conference will be held, and I believe we'll be doing it at the Capitol in Madison. And all the sheriffs of the state are involved, or could be involved if they would like to come. They'll all be invited. And some of the numbers that we have just here in Juneau County, Wisconsin, is just what's floored me. It's just phenomenal numbers that on our election turnout here in Wisconsin. You could even look at these numbers on statbandit.com, and that's S-T-A-T bandit, B-A-N-D-I-T.com. And you can look at some of the numbers, and the clerks would behoove them to look at the numbers and look at some of the turnouts. I mean, they're showing 100% turnouts in small little townships and municipalities here in Juneau County. Unheard of. I don't think you've ever had 100% turnout for any voting here in the county. And as Juneau County as a whole, 13,709 votes came in. And after it was all said and done, 96% turnout. And this just isn't a Republican issue. This isn't a Democratic issue. This is a national security issue. This is a everybody issue. And our election integrity is at stake here. And it's time, I think, all the sheriffs in the county step up to the plate here across the United States and start investigating and look into this, because just the small little bit that I've just found out about, it is amazing stuff, and it's unreal, and it needs to be nipped in the tail. So our clerks that do our elections, and they're morally and ethically responsible people, and they love their communities, and they want to see everything done properly. This would, an investigation into it, whether we find that, okay, there was no malfeasance or there was no issues with our process, or, hey, there was an issue. We need to bring election integrity back to the United States.
All right, there you have it. And, Steve, I want to make this very clear, too. There's so many ways to commit election fraud. that even the good guys in the mix, you know, who believe, you know, how can this be? What they need is education about the process. They need to realize that the mail-in ballots, there's no custody of those ballots. There's no end-to-end custody or security in place here. We're talking about honest, accurate elections, and we're not suggesting that the county clerk always is the problem. They may be completely on the up and up, completely transparent, doing a phenomenal job. Our goal is not to attack them, okay? But let's not attack the messenger either. Let's be very clear and say, look, just because you as a good guy, as a clerk, are doing what's right, that doesn't mean that it's not happening outside of your purview or outside of your responsibilities. And so we need to understand, from the machine allegations to the ballot stuffing allegations to the all kinds of, I mean, there's so many ways that this can be done. And so what we need to say to these clerks and to these sheriffs and to these different people all up and down the line is, hey, you know what? We're not trying to make allegations and attack you. If you're on the up and up, let the record show that reality. But we need your partnership, though. It isn't about Republicans or Democrats. It isn't about attacking anybody. It is about vetting the system, investigating so that we can create transparency and accountability. Because if we don't restore confidence in our elections, Steve, we're in real trouble.
Oh, we are in big trouble.
You know, that is kind of a quintessential issue here, in my opinion. That's why Steve's doubling down on defense of looking into this. That's why Schmeling has turned over his investigative material to the DA. That's why we need to be creating accountability for the DA and the county commissioners as well, because the county commission could go against the DA and back Schmeling as well, but they're not either, right?
No, they're not. I don't even know, like, the issue with Sheriff Dar Leaf also out of Berry County, Michigan, who's extremely involved in this election fraud. And where he's standing at this point, I don't know. But, yeah, Sheriff Schmeling is not getting anywhere.
He has filed lawsuits against his elected officials who are not obeying the law, because now they're trying to sue Dar Leaf.
And, again, the point is, your sheriff, the last line of defense, sheriffs, don't let your people down. This is why you were elected by the people, to be their protector, to be the one that stands up and takes care of the business at hand here, the election fraud. There is tons and tons of evidence, and it needs to be looked into.
Amen to that. No question about it. Now, Steve, just so you know, I'm starting to get emails coming in where they say, you know what, bravo to Sheriff Candidate Johnson for being willing to stand up and say this isn't just about sheriffs. It's about police chiefs. It's about police departments. It's about really all elected officials understanding their proper role, understanding their oaths of office. And so some people are emailing, listening to the show, saying, you know what, bravo to Steve for broadening that focus. And I couldn't agree more. Amen. Good for you, sir. So let's talk a little bit about your campaign. How's the media treating you? Where do you think you stand? How do people get involved and help and donate and support in every way possible? Let's get all that squared away here.
Well, the hardest thing about an election or running for an office, to me, it's never about the money. It's about the issues. But money is a big part of a political campaign. The hardest part about this is trying to get out into the communities and understand the issues in our numerous townships and what's going on here and there. But it is difficult to do that and also solicit funds, you know, to try to keep your campaign moving and moving forward.
All right. How do people fund what you're doing, get involved? How is the media treating you?
Well, the media has been phenomenal so far. I haven't had a whole lot, just a few ads in the paper. Community, we hold meetings every Monday night over in little town in the Cedar here in Juneau County, and these are for anybody to come and listen to some of the news or issues that are going on in the county. We talk about election fraud, different areas of community issues.
Do you have a primary election, or do you go straight to the general elections?
Oh, we'll have a primary election, yep.
All right, when does that take place?
That takes place August 9th.
All right, so you got a bit to campaign. How many people are running for sheriff, and where do you stand on that?
There are two that are running for sheriff. It'd be myself and an individual named Andy Zobel.
All right. Is Andy Zobel a good guy?
Oh, yeah. Andy's a great guy. He does a good job. He is currently with the sheriff's department. And if Andy was elected in your department, I think there'd be no issues or anything like that. But I am extreme advocate on hammering on the voter issues and voter integrity. And like I said before, this is a national security issue, I believe. And I think that I'd be more better equipped than Andy would be to handle something like this or to delve into it.
Do we have a debate coming up between you two, or what do people expect?
I haven't heard anything as of yet, but Andy is also invited to come to the meetings Monday nights to answer questions from the people. We do have a lot of the population of Juneau County comes in and ask questions, voices or comments or concerns. So if Andy would like to come in and do any kind of debate there, we could set something up. That'd be no problem.
All right. The best way to get a hold of you and learn more about your campaign is Facebook, right?
Yeah, you can go to Facebook, Stephen Johnson for Juneau County Sheriff.
Look there. You can keep an eye on some of the issues, some of the details on his Facebook page. You can follow him. You can keep up on that. You're also doing some fundraising for your campaign, right?
Yes, we are. We're on a Christian website, GiveSendGo. That's GiveSendGo.com. GiveSendGo.com. Then you would just go to Steve Johnson for Juneau County Sheriff. And any amount of donations or would be perfect. Or you could just leave a prayer on the site. That's even amazing. And we would go a long ways with just even a simple prayer.
Pray, follow him on Facebook, go to GiveSendGo.com, look for Stephen Johnson. He's from Wisconsin. When I saw Juneau, I thought he was from Alaska, ladies and gentlemen. But no, it's Juneau, Wisconsin, and he's running for sheriff. He's a candidate there. Primaries in August. Final election or general election will be in November, and we're praying for your success. Richard Mack publicly endorsed you on the radio just now, as you've heard, and I'm sure he'll put that in writing as necessary, and we'll do all we can to push for your success. What about the current sheriff? Is he endorsing anybody, and/or what's his take here?
The current sheriff, we just had a pretty big issue that happened here in the county. National news, you probably all know about it. He has not, that I know of, endorsed anybody yet as of this time. And I don't expect anything coming down here in the near future. He may have endorsed Andy Zobel, but I haven't heard nothing about that yet. And I also have one thing that I'd like to just say to the citizens of Juneau County, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to say, as you're elected sheriff of Juneau County, Wisconsin, I will take the oath. This oath is extremely important, and I will take it before the Supreme Judge of the Universe to keep the peace and secure and defend and protect the people of this county from all threats and to their liberties and livelihood and the peaceful enjoyment of their property. The nature of this oath will require that my actions and the performance of my duties must conform to the Constitution of the United States as well as the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin. And being fortunate and blessed to be able to take my oath of the office of Sheriff of Juneau County, I will swear obedience and fidelity to the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Wisconsin. Juneau County folks are entitled to protection of their God-given and constitutionally protected rights. As the elected chief law enforcement official of this jurisdiction, in my duty, my responsibility, and my privilege, your constitutional sheriff, I would do everything in my power to protect, defend, and secure these rights. And I just wish everybody could get out and vote August 9th. And I thank you very much, and God bless all.
You only got 10 seconds. Last question. Will you even stop government bureaucrats from breaking the law, sir?
I will do that, definitely. Hold them accountable.
Steve Johnson, God bless you. He's running in Wisconsin for sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, Juneau County. Thank you, Steve. We'll keep in touch, brother.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you, Sam.
You got it. For Sheriff Mack and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. BrightyOnRadio.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.